Good morning, church. Welcome to our online worship this morning. If this is your first time here, I want to welcome you warmly. You can head over to mykec.ca to find out more about us, or you could engage with us on our social media platforms like Facebook and YouTube or even Instagram. So for the past 7 weeks, we have been journeying through the book of Revelations in the Apocalypse series. So there's one thing that I've always been coming back to throughout all the different sermons is that Jesus is the bright and morning star. And Jesus is the one who holds all authority and He reigns over all. And as we come to the last sermon today in this series, let us prepare our hearts and prepare ourselves to worship and to listen, to find out more about how Jesus is the Lamb and the bright and morning star. Let us pray and prepare our hearts to begin worship. Lord, I just want to thank You and praise You for You're the bright and morning star. You are the Lamb and You are the one who has sacrificed all for us. I pray that You open up our hearts and prepare our hearts to receive the word that You have shared with us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
The weapons may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. My God will never fail. I'm gonna see Your victory. I'm gonna see Your victory, for the battle belongs to You, Lord. I'm gonna see Your victory. I'm gonna see Your victory, for the battle belongs to You, Lord. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war He wages, He will win. I'm not backing down from any giant. I know how this story ends. I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see Your victory. I'm gonna see Your victory. For the battle belongs to You, Lord. I'm gonna see Your victory. I'm gonna see Your victory. For the battle belongs to You, Lord.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and You turn it for good. And You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and You turn it for good. And You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and You turn it for good. And You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and You turn it for good. And You turn it for good. I'm gonna see Your victory. I'm gonna see Your victory. For the battle belongs to You, Lord. I'm gonna see Your victory. I'm gonna see Your victory. For the battle belongs to You, Lord. I'm gonna see Your victory. I'm gonna see Your victory. For the battle belongs to You, Lord. I'm gonna see Your victory. I'm gonna see Your victory. For the battle belongs to You, Lord.
cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless day we will sing your praise. O Lord, O Lord our God. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled down, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forever. For endless day we will sing your praise. O Lord, O Lord our God. He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Hey, let's praise him. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless day we will sing your praise. O Lord, O Lord our God. Praise him, oh praise him. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless day we will sing your praise. O Lord, O Lord our God. O Lord, O Lord our God. O Lord, O Lord our God.
Creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinners, wake up the saint. Let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come. Lord Jesus, come. Even so come. Lord Jesus, come. There will be justice, all will be new. Your name forever, faithful and true. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come. Lord Jesus, come. Oh, even so come. Lord Jesus, come. So we wait for you. God, we wait, you're coming soon. So we wait for you. Oh Jesus, God, we wait, you're coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come. Lord Jesus, come. Even so come. Lord Jesus, come. Even so come. Lord Jesus, come. Oh, even so come. Lord Jesus, come.
Let us pray. Oh Jesus, we praise you, for you are the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. May your name be known among the nations and throughout the nations and throughout the earth. Yes, your name be known. And when they know your name, they will turn from their ways and call you the Lord. For the kingdom of heaven is near. In Jesus' name we pray.
Today we conclude the sermon series, The Apocalypse. Remember that the word apocalypse doesn't mean, oh no, something bad is happening. It doesn't mean, oh no, the end of the world is coming. The word apocalypse means opening. Opening, the revealing, the revelation, pulling back the curtain of Jesus Christ. And throughout this sermon series, we have looked at 8 scenes from the book of Revelation. And I know that you can now say this too, is that the book of Revelation sets the present moment in light of the unseen realities of the present. The book of Revelation also sets the present moment in light of the unseen realities of the future. And that's what we saw. Last week, Pastor Gabriel opened to his chapter 19 and chapter 20. The glorious and victorious coming of Jesus Christ. How he came and he banished death into the lake of fire, and then he brought with him the righteous white throne of judgment. So I hope you can see that, you know, there's this common phrase of saying, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. This saying is not exactly true, because we do know who holds the future, and that's Jesus, but we also know what the future holds. We know what the future is going to happen. Even in tough times and uncertain times, we still know who holds the future and what the future holds. And today, I want to open up to you the rest of the book, last 2 chapters, and show you the rest of what the future holds, the grand finale. And the way I'm going to do this today is allow me to read to you excerpts from chapter 21 and chapter 22. And I want to read it all to you in one go because I believe that will make the biggest impact on you. And afterwards, I'll break down some key points that we should take home. Just to give you a little context, right? John, last week, saw the white horse, saw the white throne, and now he's going to see a new heaven and a new earth, a renewed creation, and then also a new city, the city of Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. Here it is. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' Then came one of the 7 angels who had the 7 bowls full of the 7 last plagues and spoke to me, saying, 'Come, I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.' And he carried me in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It has the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. And they'll bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. And also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." Church, it really doesn't get any better than this. That's the ending all humanity is longing for. All humanity, right now, in all their pain and heartache and plagues and death, they are longing for this glorious ending. And that's the will of God. And I want to just highlight a few things from these passages so that we can better appreciate and better understand the glorious nature of this ending, of this good news that we have in Christ Jesus. And for that, I'm going to reference Dr. Daryl Johnson's study of these two chapters so we can look at these texts from two angles: what is not there in the new heavens and the new earth, and what is there in the new heavens and the new earth. What's not there and what's there. Take a look at what's not there. If you remember, you remember phrases such as there's no more sea, there's no more death, there's no more mourning, no more crying. And that all this is like a category of evil. Everything that's evil related, the causes of evil, results of evil, works of evil, anything related to evil, it's not there. The first one that's not there is there's no sea. Revelations 21, verse 1. There's no sea. There's no sea. Not that there's no physical water to draw from. The sea in the Bible represents forces of chaos, of disasters and phenomena that threatens the lives of humanity. There's no sea. There's no tsunami. There's no earthquake. There's no forest fire. There's no windstorm. There's no plagues to threaten the new creation. You and I, we don't have to wake up wondering whether the plague is going to hit tomorrow, or whether a tsunami or an earthquake or flood is going to sweep our houses away. Imagine how big of a good news this would be for the rest of the world. For the people in Mississippi, for example, where they just endured a windstorm and they lost a couple of people. How great of a good news this is. Thank God. What is also not there? There are no characters that are inconsistent with God. It says nothing unclean will enter the city. And elsewhere in chapter 21, verse 8, it says, the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, the liars, they will not be in the new heavens and the new earth. Imagine that. There's no murderers. There's no shooters. There's no sexual predators. There's no killer, no liar in the city. We don't have to wake up and be afraid of, you know, guns and shooters just gunning us down. You don't have to wake up and walk out and be afraid of harassment. How great of a news this is for the people in Nova Scotia, for the people, the victims of sexual assault. How great of a news this is. What's also not there? There are no closed gates. No closed gates. There are gates, but not closed. They are never closed. Meaning there's no closed borders. The new city is not a jail to trap Christians in a location, nor is it a statement of superiority of certain race over others. The city doesn't block some outside, block some inside. The city does not promote racial supremacy, nor discrimination. For it was God's intention to bring the gospel to the nations. The whole people of God, regardless of race, is part of God's plan. We are all children of God. No closed gates. This is good news for the people, especially those that are oppressed because of their skin color. Asians, Americans, Africans, those minorities. Imagine humanity in perfect harmony with one another. What's also not there? There's no night in Revelations 21, verse 25. There's no night. Everything that's associated with night, you know, robbery, stealing, immorality, violence, warfare, sexual trafficking, poverty, starvation, everything that the night symbolizes, the rebellion against the light, you know, these sin and darkness, all gone, no more. Imagine the people in South Africa. They're battling the plague of locusts. Or imagine the victims of sexual trafficking. Or imagine the poor people in Middle East. They have endured warfare for such a long time. How great of a news that would be. They can never imagine a day without any warfare. And here it is. That's the promise to them. New heavens and new earth, no night. What's also not there? There's no curse. no curse. No longer will anything be accursed. You see in the first stories of the Bible in Genesis, when humanity sinned, the result was that creation was cursed. And there arose conflict between male and female, and the ground was cursed because then it didn't bring up any food without toil. But in the new creation, God's will is not only to reverse that curse, but to bless it abundantly. Thank God for His blessings. And because of all this, there's no tears, there's no death, there's no mourning, there's no crying, there's no pain in the new heavens and the new earth. Because the source of evil itself is defeated. There's no more marks of evil, no more tragedies. Can you just imagine a day in the world without tears and pain and people mourning and dying? Can you imagine your life without any tears and mourning and pain? Praise God, for that is His will in the new heavens and the new earth. And that's already pretty good. Severe understatement. Pretty good of a happy ending. But now, let's flip to the other side. What is there in the new heavens and new earth? What is there? The first is, you'll see the mention of people. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, it says, God says, they will be my people, you and I. But if you look closely, when you dig up the Greek original language, the people here is not singular, it's peoples with the S in the back, meaning not just you and I, but all God's peoples, all kinds of people, Canadian, Asian, American, Africans, Europeans, Mexicans, you name it, all kinds of peoples. There's ethnic diversity. Imagine, you and I will be worshiping alongside maybe our Punjabi-speaking brothers, or you and I will serve alongside our French-speaking sisters, or we will dine with our African family members, or we will work with our Japanese church family. Humanity, in perfect harmony, peoples will be there. And with people, there comes culture, creativity, and civilization, things that people do. You see the mention, remember the mention of kings and nations entering into the city, meaning it has an overtones of culture and work and art and civilization. In a journal article called Heaven, Not Just an Eternal Day Off, by theologian Anthony Joachima, he writes this. He says, will there be better Beethovens on the new earth? Shall we read better poetry, better drama, or better prose? Will scientists continue to advance in technological achievements? Will geologists continue to dig up treasures of the earth? And will architects continue to build imposing and attractive structures? Will there be enticing new adventures in space travels? I believe so. For all this is an exploration of God's creation and His glory. And what better way to worship Him and glorify Him by exploring and being in awe of His creation? There's culture, there's creativity, there's civilization. What else is there? What else is there? Creation is there. And when I say creation, I mean in a broad sense. There's a lot of stuff there, for lack of better words. There's a lot of tangible things. When we read Revelation, we see cities. There's cities, there's walls, there are gates, there are streets, there are rivers, there are trees, there's food, there's eating and drinking. Heaven is not just angels floating around in the cloud and singing songs on a harp. Imagine dining in heaven, exploring the creation in heaven, living and walking in the streets of heaven. Heaven is vibrant, beautiful, glorious, and full of activity. And that already sounds like a paradise. That already sounds so good. But that's not all. That's not all. There's still one more, is there, that we haven't mentioned. And it's not what, it's who. God is there. God is there. God is the reason why new heavens and a new earth is the new heavens and a new earth. Because God is there, there's no tears or mourning or pain or death. It says, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. There's no tears, no mourning, because God is there. God wipes away our tears. God is so present, so real, so close that he's like a father brushing away the tear from a child's cheek. And because God is there, his people is there. God himself will be with them as their God, like a great shepherd gathering all his sheep under his care. God gathers the nations to him. And because God is there, the creation and the things become good. Because God's glory is reflected in these creations and cities and light. His light shines on the road and the streets of the city. And the fact that God is there, that alone surpasses all good things. God is there. Imagine, we'll see his face. We will live with him, we'll live by him, we'll live before him, we'll live in him. Can you imagine waking up and getting out of your heavenly home and have a coffee with God? I hope there's coffee in heaven. Or have breakfast with God. Can you imagine walking with God by the streets and the river? Or can you imagine showing God a piece of art that you made, or a song that you made, or singing songs to him? Can you imagine playing games with God, like playing board games maybe, or sports? I don't know. Can you imagine working with God to plant a garden or organize the city and talking about how to develop certain places in that heavenly city? And can you imagine seeing God face to face, looking into his eyes? And can you imagine that he will embrace you? He will hug you. God is there. God is there. I can't wait. I can't imagine what John must have felt. After receiving this glorious, majestic, breathtaking revelation of God's new beginning for humanity, and along with everything that he's received from Revelations 1, everything that he's gone through, I can't imagine. I think he'll be in tears. Not the sad kind of tears, but hopeful tears. Because remember where he is. He's still in the island of Patmos. God hasn't taken him and put him into the new heavens and new earth yet. He's still trapped in the island of Patmos. He's still exiled, still abandoned, still isolated, and maybe still in chains. And his churches, the church is still being persecuted. The empires are still seducing Christians, and forces of evil and night are still collapsing on the church. So I think John would be in tears, not sad kind of tears, not sorrowful kind of tears, but hopeful tears. Because Jesus tells him, look, John, look, behold, I am here. I am in the middle of the churches. I know everything you've gone through. And look, I know things are out of control. I know plagues and death and disasters and persecution is overwhelming the world. But look, my Father is on the throne, and I am on the throne, and I am in control of the destiny. And look, as I open the seals of the scroll of destiny, the world is going to bring an upheaval. The world's going to rebel against my kingdom. But look, I have sealed all of you guys. I have sealed all my people. You will not be heard. And look, or maybe listen, the trumpets are now sounded. Now is the time before the last trumpet. So go, I've sent you to be the church, and go out to bring the gospel to the nations. And look, the dragon has been defeated. The beasts have been defeated. This is only their final frustrated rampage. And look, the Babylon city has fallen. She has been judged. So church, come out of her and don't follow her ways. And look, I am coming soon on a white horse, and I will defeat death and the beast and the Babylon. I will throw them into the lake of fire, and I will judge and reward and punish everyone according to what they have done. And look, there's a new heaven and a new earth and a new city where you and I will dwell together for eternity. Look, John. Look, church. I think John would be in tears. I think I would be in tears. Hopeful tears, that is. Joyful tears. tears that come out knowing that the end is actually decided. Tears that come out because there's good news. Tears that come out like the soldiers at the end of a long fought warfare, and they heard victory is decided and they know they finally go home. Or the tears that come out, you know, when an orphan teenager has finally been adopted and he knows, I am going to a new home that's going to love me. Hopeful tears. If I were John, I would be in tears. If I were John, I would also ask in tears. I'll ask Jesus. This is also great. This is also good. But when is all this happening? When? When are you going to return? You see everything that's happening in the world. When are you going to come back? When is all this promise going to be fulfilled? And Jesus actually answers him. In the epilogue of the book, after John has received all the vision, Jesus speaks some final words to John. Jesus says, "Behold, John, look, church, look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy of the book." Coming soon? When are you coming soon, Jesus? When soon? And Jesus said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoers still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy." The time is near. Jesus, when? What's near? It's been so long. Jesus says, behold, John, look, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. Coming soon? Jesus, it has been 2,000 years. When are you coming? Soon, he says. Soon. Before, when I hear this, I used to think that Jesus is saying this on a couch, you know, on this heavenly couch on the throne, you know, just watching, maybe having some popcorn and just watching this, you know, the world unfold. And then he says, "Yeah, soon I'll come. Don't worry, I'll come soon. And then he's just waiting for God the Father to tell him to come. And when God finally gives the command, he will get out of his seat. And then Jesus would, you know, call his heavenly chariots, and he would transit from heaven and through different realms and appear in a portal a while later. And here I am. But that's not what it means. That's not, "I am coming soon." That's not what that means at all. In Greek, "I'm coming soon" is only two words. It's only two words. "I am coming" and "soon." "I am coming," Jesus says. "I'm already in the process of coming. I am moving towards you." And how can you tell? Well, we see this already. When the world goes out of control, when the nations rebel against him, when the evil goes on a rampage, you know. Because when Jesus brings in his kingdom of light, the earthly kingdom of darkness will generate a great upheaval, and they will rebel because they don't want Jesus to come. So you know, we know he's coming. He's in the process of moving. He's not somewhere waiting for a command. He's not somewhere just be still. He is already in the process of coming. "I am coming soon." Soon sometimes we understand it to be like, "I'll come later." Soon, I will start coming at a certain point of time. But that's not what it means. Soon, in Greek, it means without delay. Without delay. There's no delay. "I am coming without any delay. I am already coming." Is he coming from a far away place? Is he traveling from the realms of heavens and then on his chariots and through the different dimensions, arriving here at a portal? No. You see, because when he arrives, it's not really an arrival. It's an apocalypse. The final, last apocalypse. And during that time, he will simply lift open that spiritual curtain once and for all. Remove that curtain between the physical and spiritual, because you know this, Jesus is already here. He's not far away, he's here. And when he returns, he simply lifts the curtain and he's here. And right now, he's in the process of lifting that curtain. I am coming soon. I am lifting that curtain without delay. And when that happens, we will all see the Son of God in all his glory descend on the white horse, and we'll fall on our knees, and we'll see the white throne, and we'll see the new heaven and new earth. So when? When is Jesus coming? He says, I'm already on my way. Things are not as they seem. I am coming soon, and I'll arrive anytime. When? Anytime. Before I wrap up the sermon series, I want to share with you one more very, very important observation that highlights this last point. And this is the last statement that Jesus identifies himself with, the last name that he calls himself. You know, because throughout the book of Revelation, you will remember that Jesus has many names that he uses for himself. You know, there's King of Kings, there's Lord of Lords, he calls himself the Groom, he calls himself the Lion and the Lamb, he's the Word, and he's faithful and true. That's all his names. And the more notable combination, the triplet, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and the beginning and the end. Alpha and Omega is the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet, meaning he encompasses all things. The first and the last is an expansion of that, the first and the last of any sequence. And the beginning and the end is a greater expansion of that still. It means before the first and after the last. Jesus is the source of all things, and he's the destiny of all things. Jesus is inescapable. He's inevitable. But that's not the name he uses for himself last. That's not the name. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, he calls himself, I am the bright morning star. Why the bright morning star? We've never heard this before, Jesus. What does that mean? Why the bright morning star? Why not, you know, the super cool and glorious, you know, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end? That's much more grand, don't you think, Jesus? Why bright morning star? Because Jesus knows. The bright morning star addresses the tension that John feels at that time in the island of Patmos, and it certainly addresses the tension that we feel. And the tension is, Jesus, the night is still dark. The world is still in a lot of darkness. When are you coming? Jesus says, I am the bright morning star. What's the bright morning star? Bob Goldsworth, an economist and writer, he writes about the bright morning star in this way. He says, the morning star often appears before 2 and 3 at night when the darkness is complete, and the faintest sign of morning is still not yet visible. So small that the star threatens to vanish because it seems unable to vanquish the overpowering darkness. Yet, when you see the morning star, you know that the night has been defeated, for the morning star pulls the morning in behind it, just as certainly as Jesus pulls the kingdom in behind him. I am the bright morning star, even though the darkness is still there, even though the darkness seems to be covering everything, but soon, without any delay, I will pull in behind me the kingdom of God. Jesus is already here. The star is already here. The night has been defeated, and soon, without delay, he will pull back the curtain and the kingdom will arrive. The star, bright morning star, look, bright morning star is here. The time is near and the kingdom is near. So church, the question is not when. The question is not, when are you going to return? Because the answer to that is always anytime, because Jesus says, I am in the process of coming already. So the question is not when, but the question is, what do we do? How are we to live? You know, after all this revelation, after all this opening and, you know, scene after scene after scene after scene, If that doesn't promote us to act differently, live differently, then it's just the same as you watching a drama. You've just watched, you know, a 3-hour movie on the end of the world. And if you come out of it unchanged, you haven't read the apocalypse. So the question is not when is this going to happen, but what do we do? What do we do? The purpose of Revelation is to ask that question. What are you going to do knowing that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and He is coming soon? What do we do? What do we do? Church, we just have three reminders for you. And these are not new reminders. These are not new takeaways. These are simply recap of what we've been talking about the whole series. The first, come out of the darkness. Come out of the darkness. The darkness, the night has been defeated. So don't walk in it. The Babylon city has fallen. Don't walk in it and don't be seduced and don't be entertained by the Babylon city. Don't follow the dragon and the beast and worship it. Don't stay in the darkness. You don't want to be found associated with the darkness when the light returns, when Jesus returns. If there's any darkness, if there's anything that you are stuck in the nighttime, do your best. Pray and get out of it. Get out of the darkness. Second, get out of the darkness and walk in the light. Walk as children of light. Put on the armor of light. Put on Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the good deeds, the gospel, the faith, the truth, and the word, and the conviction. And follow Jesus wherever He goes. Pursue Him and honor Him above all things. Walk in the light because it's coming. Lastly, bring that light into the darkness. As children of light, courageously bring that torch of light and walk into the darkness. Bring the gospel of light into the darkness. Bring the good news into the darkness. Because church, I tell you, there's so many people in this world still waiting for that little glimpse of light to shine on them. And church, this is our time to bring the light into the darkness. With the gospel, with our actions, with our encouragement, with our prayers, with our support, our financial support, our donations, our deeds, this is our time to bring the light into the darkness. Jesus is coming soon. The bright morning star is there. The darkness, the night is over. This is our time to bring the light into the darkness. So church, Jesus is coming soon. The bright morning star is already here. The kingdom is near. The time is near. He is coming soon. So leave the darkness. Walk in the light and bring the light into the darkness. Surely, without any delay, Jesus is coming. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. God, I pray that You will help us. For a lot of us, that we still have struggles with the darkness. We still have ties with the nighttime. We have hidden sins. We have things that we desire, we hope not to be revealed. God, I pray that You give us the strength and You'll help us through the Holy Spirit to get out of the darkness. And God, I pray day by day, we will learn to put on the armor of light, put on Jesus Christ, and to walk in the light. And God, lastly, I bless this church and the brothers and sisters listening to this, that they will become children of light, that they will bring those torches of light into the darkness of the world. And the world will see them, and they will turn to Jesus Christ, the bright morning star. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, a path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinners, wake up the saints, Let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. There will be justice, all be made new, your name forever, faithful and true. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Oh, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. So we wait for you. God, we wait, you're coming soon. Oh, so we wait for you. Oh, we wait for you, Jesus. God, we wait, you're coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Oh, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come.
Let us pray together. Jesus, thank you, for you have promised us that you will come again. And when you come, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And you will dwell with us, and we will be your people, and you will be our God. You will wipe away every tear. There will be no death, or mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And you also said in Revelation chapter 22, verses 14, blessed are those who washed their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Oh God, we pray that we will be those blessed ones, washing our robes every day, setting ourselves apart from sin, and getting ourselves ready for you, so that on that day when you return, we will be able to receive those blessings that you have in store for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As you draw to a close for today's worship, I would like to encourage you to continue to worship and engage in worship through offering as well. So offering is a way that we can respond to God and respond to His love with our own actions. So right now we have PayPal, we have credit card, we have check. For more information, you can head over to MyKAEC to find out more. And as we talk about offering, there's also one thing that I would like to share with everyone. So in the month of May, we'll be launching a campaign. It's called the Reaching Out Campaign. Because we see that there's needs around us. There are people with spiritual need, people with financial need. And as Christians, we want to reach out to them and we want to help them during these dark times. So what we'll be doing in the month of May is that for all general offerings that we are collecting, we're going to donate it to different non-profit organizations. So we'll be donating to the Union Gospel Mission. We'll be donating to Doctors Without Borders or even Compassion Canada or locally to Richmond Hospital. So we want to reach out during these dark times and to practice what it means to be the light, what it means to be the salt. And we're trying to answer that call that Jesus has given us. And we want to reach out to these people and to help them and to journey with them. So I encourage you to pray and find out what more you can give and what you have been blessed with and what else you can share with those who are in need. And similarly, because of the campaign, we are also going to have a new sermon series in the month of May, which is called Reaching Out. And in this series, we're going to question ourselves, we're going to ask ourselves as Christians, what are we going to be thinking about during these dark times? Are we just going to be concerned about self-preservation? Or are we going to be stepping out and are we going to look further than that? Is there a higher calling than just giving thanks that, oh, thank God, I am safe during this pandemic? So when we ask ourselves these questions, journey with us and find what the Bible says and how we can respond and how we can share with others in need in the next few weeks. And finally, let's not forget that today is Mother's Day, and we really want to give thanks for the mothers that have been stepping up during this time. They have gone from just mothers to cooks, to chefs, to school teachers, and we really want to give thanks for the hard work that they're putting up and all the sacrifice they've given us. So take some time and reach out to them and say, thank you, Mom, and I love you. As we draw to a close for today's worship, I would like to encourage all of us from Revelation 22, starting from verse 12 to 21. So behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they might have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things from the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desire take the water of life without price. He who testifies to this thing says, surely I am coming soon. Amen, come. Lord Jesus, the grace of Lord Jesus be with all. Amen.